So we're going to jump right in. It should work out good. This isn't a super long message. That's just as far as I can tell. But it is preparing us. Wanted to hear the Laysons and give them time to talk to us and share with us. And appreciate them coming up here. It's a pretty long trip for them, especially in traffic, driving I-5 through Tacoma and up to Tacoma. So they took them a pretty good amount of time to get here. And so I decided to get you write a note, and they said, well, we'll come up and talk. So anyway, that's a blessing. And so anything else you want to say while you're here? You're good. You anything else you want to say while you're here? You're good. Okay. Well, if you're going to drive that far, I want to give them and thanks for the chocolate, by the way. So that's good. Acts chapter 4. That's where we'll be, Acts chapter 4. Things we don't know, and we're in lesson number 6 here. I keep thinking we're going to get to things we do know. But things we don't know. Lesson number 6, and this one is going to be why people resist God. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Acts 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And this is Acts 4:35. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being by interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land whilst it remained? Was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the honor and privilege of preaching your word. Thank you for the good testimony tonight, and thank you for keeping the Laysons going and blessing them and using them. And I pray you'd fill them with your spirit and open doors for them down there and break through the darkness and move mightily there, Father. We pray you'd move mightily with us and speak through me, Lord. I pray you give me your wisdom and your thought. And Lord, it's kind of just a few simple thoughts, but it's something that we need to think about, and it's very true in our lives. And I pray that you would help us and help us do the right thing and help us to think right and really understand and grasp that it's not wise to fight against you. We ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's such an obvious blessing in this church. The power of the Holy Spirit comes. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. They speak the word of God with boldness. They've had miracles. They've had people healed. Great grace is upon them all. It says in verse 32, they're of one heart and one soul. They were sharing things. Verse 33, they had great power. The apostles did. And great grace was upon them all. Nobody lacked anything. Verse 34, great and wonderful things are happening. They're blessed. Exciting days. The church has power and blessing. And it's not just a few people. The whole church had great grace on it. And everybody had great grace on them. And the whole church was obviously blessed. And so everything's going real well. Everyone has favor. Nobody's lacking anything. There's great power and miracles and souls being saved. And it says great grace is upon everybody in the church. It was upon them all, it says. Boy, that's exciting days. But why in the world do you suddenly find in verse 3, sin comes in? And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He sold a possession and kept back part of the price, it says in verse 1 and 2. To keep back part of the price of the land. Whiles it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Verse 9, then Peter said unto her, this is his wife, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And young men came and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. Boy, you've got this great blessing, this great opportunities, and all of a sudden these people are holding back part of it, and they're lying to God. And they're going against God. Now, Peter makes it very clear, you're not lying, you're not going against man when you did this. You kept back part from God, and it's not men you're resisting, it's not men you're lying to, it's God. It's God that you're going against. And they both died right there in church. Why would they go against God? It's a great question. Why do we humans do these things? Why do we go against God? And just a few questions here. We're going to talk about things we don't know, because we don't know why sometimes we do things. Number one, why would you miss the blessings of God? When we ask the question, why would we fight against God? Why would we miss the blessings of God? Here's this incredible opportunity to continue to be part of this incredible church, to see God working, to see the miracles, to have great grace, the favor of God upon you, to be provided for. They weren't lacking anything. They had what they needed. Why do we go and go against God and miss the opportunities and the blessings of serving God? I think it's a bigger tragedy, not that you are sinning against God. It's a bigger tragedy that you're not doing things for God. You're not doing the good things. You're not seeing the blessing. You're not being used. It's not just that you did something wrong. It's you didn't do something right. You didn't take advantage of the opportunity. You're missing the opportunity to be blessed. And why would you miss the blessings of God? There's so many promises that are so great in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, the way of the righteous, it's like a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. What a great life it is when you're serving God and it shines more and more and gets better and better, yet Ananias and Sapphira didn't get that. Why would you miss the blessings of God by fighting against God? Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There's so many wonderful promises if you do right. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Why would you miss the opportunity to get the blessings of God on your life? Why would you fight against God and miss the opportunities? Everything was going so good here. I want to say this. Though we stand here in the will of God, and we sometimes look and say, man, it's hard here, and the grass on the other side of the fence outside the will of God looks real green. Let me tell you, when you get there, it's painted green. And it's dried up, nasty grass. It's going to make you sick. Don't mess up the will of God. Don't mess up the chance to be in the blessings of God. Why would you want to resist? Why would you go against God? God is not going to bless you when you resist him. Amen? Oh boy. Let's try that again. Why would you resist God? God is not going to bless you if you resist him. Amen? I like to be blessed. Am I selfish? Probably. But the Bible says, a blessing of the Lord maketh rich and brings no sorrow with it. I want the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God on my home, on my life, on my church. I want the hand of God working. And if I resist God, I'm going to miss out on those blessings. I'm going to ruin what God was doing. And Ananias and Sapphira lost their chance to be part of that church and to see God continue the work. The blessings they were seeing, they lied unto God, it said, not unto man. And they lost. They lost their lives. And they missed out on the blessing. Number two, we're wondering why people resist God. Number two, why go against the one who is for you and loves you? Why go against the one who is for you and loves you? Well, there's a lot of verses on this. Look at Acts chapter 7. In Acts 7, Stephen's preaching, and his whole message basically is before the council is, hey, God has loved this nation and tried to reach Israel, and tried to reach Israel, and tried to reach Israel, and every time he did it, you fought against the Holy Spirit, and you fought against God. Kind of the tone of it, it's a long message, it's a whole chapter of chapter 7, but start of verse 35, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your own brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was a church in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles given, or the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them and turn their hearts back again to Egypt. Eventually, you can see the rebellion. Verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, which your fathers, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which the prophets of your fathers not persecuted? He says, you have fought and resisted the Holy Ghost. This whole passage is saying, listen, guys, God keeps sending to you and you rebel. He sent Moses, you rebelled. He sent Abraham, he sent Isaac, he sent Jacob, and he blessed them, and then he called this nation, and then he sent blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and he sent prophets, and you sent them away. Which of the prophets have you not rebelled against? You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. You are resisting the Holy Ghost. You're resisting God who's trying to bless you. He's been trying to bless you since you were found as a nation. Why would you go against one who is for you and loves you? Everybody in life, I think at some point, you have tried to help something or someone who didn't understand and let you help them. Sometimes it was an animal that was injured. You ever try to help an animal that's injured, you tried to help, and they fight against you? And you're going, you need this. And you're trying to hold it. You're trying to fix it, but they don't let you. You ever try to help a kid who's injured and they're screaming and yelling, won't you touch their owie and they're stop the bleeding and put ice on it? I still do that. No, I don't need ice. I want hot. Hot's good for this injury. And you resist. And when somebody's trying to do you good, we've all done that. Sometimes in life, you love somebody, and you know they're messing up, and you try to help them, and they somehow twist it in their mind that you're trying to do bad against them, and they fight against you, and all you're trying to do is help them and try to do that. I remember there was a guy driving on the road with a flat tire one time, and I was trying to get him to pull over. He's just driving on the road with a flat tire, and looked like a normal, decent guy, and I was honking and pointing to the side of the road, and finally, I pulled over, and he pulled over, and he got out, and he never had a flat tire in his life. But he thought he got out of his car kind of mad, like, what's wrong with you? You know, and he realized you're driving a flat tire. You've been driving down I-5 with a flat tire. And boy, he's thankful. And he had a skill he had. And he said, you know, if you ever need me to do this, I'll come do it for free for you. And da 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 da. And he was a nice guy and he was very glad about it. But at first, I was trying to help him and he didn't want my help. Because he didn't understand I was trying to help him. And God, why would we resist the God who loves us, who spared not his own son for us, and he cares about us? Why would we want to resist him and fight against God? Why do we do that? Let me take it to Luke 19, where we were Sunday night. Watch the heart of God. And he wants to help them, but he can't help them because they're resisting him. And if we fight against him, well, things don't go good. But he's trying to help, even though they didn't see it. Luke 19, verse 41 through 44. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Why? Because he loved Jerusalem and wanted the city to be saved. Saying, if thou hast known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, and how they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about round and keep thee in every on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest at the time of thy visitation. The Lord's only trying to do them good. His heart is broken because they won't let him. Why would he want to fight against God? Why does mankind, we don't know this, why in the world do we fight against a God who loves us, who's for us? But he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Let me take you back to Ezekiel, probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's just a phrase that just comes to me so often. And I think we need to understand the way God thinks about us. Ezekiel chapter 36. In verse 9. For behold, I am for you. I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. Just God just saying, I am for you. He says in another spot in Ezekiel, he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace. God is for us. The Lord is not trying to get you. The Lord is, if he wasn't for us, he wouldn't have given his son for us. Somehow the devil makes us think that God is against us. Even in these chapters in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, in the midst of the most intense judgment where God is pouring out his wrath and saying, I'm destroying you now, he is saying, but this is not what I want. I'm for you. I don't want to do this. God is always for us, and he wants to bless us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 38. Why would we fight against the God that is for us and loves us? Deuteronomy 28. And verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked out from the land where thou goest to possess it. And I will scatter you. Look, God is saying here, I'm rejoicing over you. And Deuteronomy is always like that. If you'll do the right thing, I'll bless you in this way. If you do the wrong thing, I'll curse you. And he says, in the same way, I wanted to do you good and rejoice because I rejoice to do you good. You understand? He wants to do you good. But if you rebel, I'll rejoice to do you evil. That's what he says. But understand, his first choice is rejoicing to do us good. Because God is for us. Why would we want to make it so when he wants to bless us and wants to do good for us and wants us to do well and wants to be with us, why would we rebel so now he has to spend his energy and time instead of blessing us, cursing us? Why would we ever want to have that rebellion against one who's so for us? Hebrews 13:6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Even when he disciplines us, he loves us. Why would we resist him? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43. Why would we want to resist? Why would someone fight against God? Why would anyone want to battle against the Lord when he is for them and wants to bless them? And Isaiah 43 is one of the great chapters of the whole Bible. Look at God's heart for them. Look how he wanted to bless them. Verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Now, verse 15 through verse 22. Watch how God wanted to bless them. He says, I am the Lord, the Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. You're my people. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, and the army and the power, and shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, and consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even, look at the beautiful words here, make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Boy, isn't that beautiful what God wants to do for them? A way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, and give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. God saying, I want to make rivers in the desert. I want to bless you. But you, it doesn't make any sense. He says, why are you doing this? You would not call upon me and let me bless. You got tired of me. Thou hast become weary of me, O Israel. God says, I want to do mighty supernatural works. I want to do great things for you. But you fought against me and got sick of me and went to the idols. Why would they do that when God wants to do such great things for them? Why? And we read as Israel rebels and they go into sin and they come back to God and God blesses them and the great things God did for them. Why do they keep on rebelling? Yeah, we can also ask, why do we keep on going against the God who wants to bless us? Who wants to do great things for us? And we see that why would we want to go against the one who loves us so much? Why would we want to rebel? Why do people resist God? So number one, why would people miss the blessings of God? Number two, why would you go against the one who's for you and loves you and wants to bless you? Number three, why fight when you will lose badly? Why fight when you will lose badly? Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm chapter 2. Keep your finger in Psalm 2. Let me read to you out of the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 35 through 39. I'll probably just read 39. Acts 5. See, fighting against God is not good. Gamaliel tells the people who are at the council who's going after the disciples, he says, better be careful about this. Things that aren't of God, just go away. Just see what happens, because if it's of God, you got to be careful. In verse 38 of Acts 5, and I'll get back to Psalms 2 in a sec. And now I seem to refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council is the work be of men, it will come to naught, to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. But you know how dumb we are? We fight against God. Listen, can you imagine this? Let's say, you know what, guys? I got an awesome deal. I got a bet together. And I bet all of our possessions that we men in the church can play a football game and beat the Seahawks. And so I want all you men to come with me, and we're going to play this coming Sunday after church. We're going to go. We're going to bet our houses. And you know what? We win $1 million each if we win this game. And you know what? We're putting up our houses and our cars and our children. Just our houses and our cars. And we're going to play the Seahawks this Sunday. And you know what? We're going to play them. Maybe we'll win. I'm going to go ahead and let Matthew tackle Marshawn Lynch when he comes through. That's my plan there. And you know what? We'll get together. Aaron, you can play cornerback, and Ron, you'll be wide receiver. I'll let Sherman take you. And we're gonna beat the Seahawks this week. Would you guys do that? Why would you bother? All we do, I remember when I was in the Philippines when I was there last time, it was summer, and it was so hot, and we played, and I don't know why, Filipinos are very short people. They love basketball. Love basketball. And so it's about, 190 degrees and about, 112% humidity. And they start a full court basketball game. And these little guys, running all over the place. And I could stand still and sweat to death. And so we're at full court, back and forth. I was sweating so bad, I kid you not, my fingers were sweating and dripping. I was so sweating so bad. And it finally got to the point where when all of a sudden they were running backward, if they got past me, I'd say, you know what? Go ahead and finish that down there. I'll catch you on the way back. They said, why bother, man? I'm so sweating out of breath. I'm going to die of dehydration. And why bother? Why fight against God? Isn't it dumb we do that? God says, do this. And we say, no, I got my own plans. Are you going to win? You do better against playing the Seahawks. We could probably do as good as the Broncos did. We could probably do that. Why bother fighting against God? If he's telling you, if he's leading you, if he's speaking to you, you go ahead and get in a tug of war with God. Call it. You don't win. Less happily we be found to fight against God. Psalm 2. Look at the question here. Here's the why. Why do the heathen rage? Speaking of Armageddon and the end times. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast away the cords from us. They're going to fight against God and say, no more, God, you're not going to control us. We're going to fight you in Armageddon. What does God do? He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. That's funny. Oh, look at them down there with their missiles and their tanks. Oh, that's hilarious. Why fight against God? The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them when he's done laughing in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I, not me, Lord, I'm not fighting against you. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I put God in charge of my life. I'm not fighting him. I'm not crazy. I will desire the decree that the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash into pieces like a potter's vessel, like a piece of pottery. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye kings of the earth. You better not fight God. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, showing there's a Son of God way back in the Old Testament. Lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Why do the heathen rage and the wicked imagine the vain thing? Oh no, we found this stuff out in science. We're changing the laws and getting away from those old Bible things. Why are they bothering? God's going to be right in the end and win. Amen. Why fight? Why do humans, as the phrases have gone, resist and fight against God? Why? Again, things we don't know. Our guesses, number one, humans are extremely arrogant. Humans are also not very smart. They think they can do very bad, dumb things against God and not reap anything bad. It's called they don't believe God. I want to say this, no matter what happens on earth, in the end, the heathen are going to find the bad things. Don't fight against God. Why do these crazy, and I told you about the Satanists I met who told they're going to win Armageddon. Listen, why bother? Do not fight against God. If God has a plan for your life, obey it. If God tells you to do something, do it. If God is leading you, follow his leading. Do not resist the Holy Ghost. Why do humans fight against God? I don't know. It's not very smart. Why? But they sure do, don't they? Why did Israel keep fighting against God and keep losing? Humans aren't very bright. You know what? Because sometimes I've fought against God. And, you know, God won. Why would I want to fight against him anyway when he just wants to do a great work in my life and he loves me? Why do people resist God? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we look at your word and we see that it's a wonderful thing to serve you. I pray we would be people to resist you. I pray that we would, as we're just studying a little bit through things we don't know, Lord, I pray that we would not resist and not fight against you when we know we're going to lose. Please, Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to kiss the Son, lest he be angry with us, Lord. And please, Lord, help us to not fight against you. Lord, we know that the heathen are going to do that. Lord, we just, even so, come, Lord Jesus, and finish the work and make everything right. But, Lord, in our own personal lives, help us not to fight against you. Why? It's incomprehensible. It's not understandable why men resist you. Why humans fight against you. We don't understand it, Lord. We don't understand why we do it ourselves. But Lord, help us to realize it's a foolish thing to do and not do it. In Jesus' name. Just our heads bowed and our eyes closed.